All right. Anybody excited about that? Hey, really excited about that last thing you heard about, which is our serve day. That's fastly approaching. And so especially those of you that are in small groups, be sure and connect with your small group leader. We're going to be coordinating that. I'll be talking with Pastor Steve, our small groups pastor, as we discuss what opportunities we're focusing in on. And just making a difference. That's, in fact, what we're here to do, is to make a difference. Here at Crosspoint, if you're new to Crosspoint, here's some of the basic things that we do around here. We want people to know God, people to find freedom. We want people to discover purpose and then go out and make a difference. And that's really all it boils down to. And so, and this is a real tangible way that we can go out in our community and make a difference on that Serve Day coming up on July the 16th. So shout out to all those that are helping with that, and all of our small group leaders. You're doing a phenomenal job. So, right? So let me mention, I just brought this up. I borrowed this little binder here. These are available in our connection area as you come in. And so be sure and get these. These are free. These are yours. Just pick them up. You can use that. And that is for your message notes. Normally we have fill in the blanks when we do series here. This series, we're just giving you a blank page. That is actually in your worship guide. So you'll see if you want to take notes this morning, you can use this to take notes with. We're just giving you a clean slate through this series just to take some notes. But then you can collect all those. And I picked this up. I borrowed this. This is Karen's. And look how thick this thing is. She has been taking some notes and collecting. And then you can look back at all the series and just glean from that. And so be sure and avail yourself of that. Just wanted to mention that to you. Let me just say I'm really excited this morning about Pastor Dwayne coming and sharing with you. This guy needs really no introduction. But I'm going to make a feeble attempt just to sort of words fail me, because this guy is just a tremendous blessing to me. Very, very thankful for this guy. I've known this guy for many years. Actually, I was honored to be able to officiate their wedding some years ago. And so not even before, during, and after. So but he... he's come to our church a few years back, and we talked about just seeking God's guidance and his direction as far as where Dwayne was at that point. And so he came on board as our worship pastor. He's been doing a phenomenal job. But I'm going to underline the word pastor. He's really been a pastor. And for those of you that are on the worship team, you know that this guy really, really pastors. And then not only that, he wears several hats. I asked him also if he would be our secretary treasurer. And so he is our secretary treasurer for our church. And so the financial things, he has that he's responsible for as well. And then he looked around and he saw some needs in the church and said, man, we just need to do something with our young adults, those in colleges or in careers early in their life. And so he's doing a First Friday small group with that. And I mean, he just wears a lot of hats around here. I so appreciate him and his lovely wife, Karen, and all that they do. She's our dream team coordinator and just doing a phenomenal job. I just appreciate the fact that, some people you got to convince you push and pull and pump and prime. And this guy, I just share with him my heart, my vision of what I believe God had called us to do. And he said, Pastor, man, this is right in line with what I believe God would have us to do together. And he's come alongside us and been really an encouragement to me and to Kim and to this church. And so I'm just so thankful for Dwayne. And he's going to share some stuff today. And we're going to have a good, good time. So come on, let's give it up. Appreciate Pastor Dwayne Strong. Will you? Come on.
Woo! Come on now. Yeah, put your hands together. Come on now. All right, how many of you remember this movie, right? Very inspirational, awesome. All right, I'm going to do something right now that's very inspirational. I want everybody to take out your smartphones. Now, this is going to be the one of the few times you're going to tell us you take out your phone and play on it at your church, okay? Bring up Facebook. Bring up Facebook. Come on now. And I want everybody to check in, all right? You should have a Cross Point Worship Center there. And I want everybody to check in on Facebook. So this is very inspirational. Have you ever wanted to be able to invite a bunch of your friends to church? This is a way to invite a bunch of your friends to church. So check it out. Check in on Cross Point. I want it to be just as inspirational as Rocky here. Isn't it awesome? I'll have to tell you a little story behind this in a few minutes that our pastor, Steve, a small group pastor, as he is walking up these last few steps here, I'm going to do the same thing. It is very inspirational. Woo! So here we go. What Pastor Steve didn't know yesterday, for a lot of you who are in our health and fitness small group, yesterday we meet at 7 o'clock. Some of us have to get up way earlier than 7 o'clock to be here because I live about 35 minutes away. So I have to get up pretty early to be here. So my wife and I have been joining this group on Saturday mornings, and we do the Greenway. Some of our ladies, they walk, and some of us have decided we're going to start running. Now, I know I probably look like a runner, but I am not a runner, I promise you that. So Pastor Steve has been, he's doing this thing, it's called Couch to 5K. So we're training for hopefully a 5K. I'm hoping my knee is going to hold out. I've been having some issues with that. So anyway, yesterday we were going through the Greenway. Pastor Steve says, we're going to go down through the college. We're going to go on this back way. We're going to go down these steps. He said, we're going to go down the Rocky steps. I went, okay, that's just confirmation. How did he know I was going to do Rocky? I think he was reading my notes somehow. So yesterday we walked down the steps, but he said, next week we're going to start running the steps. I was like, oh my goodness. So that was just confirmation on the Rocky. So I know you're sitting here thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. So what does Rocky have to do with your sermon? Well, I'm getting ready to tell you. You ready? Nothing. Has absolutely nothing to do with my sermon today. I just thought it would be fun to do my sermon. I just started off. Because we usually have a message bumper for all of our series, and this time we were not able to get the message bumper. So I said, I'll just create my own message bumper. So we'll do the Rocky. So you guys did awesome. You got into it. You got excited. You clapped and all that stuff. All right. So first of all, for those of you who don't know, we are live on the World Wide Web. Miss Heather here is doing Facebook Live today. She did it last week for Taylor. And so I'd just like to say hello to everyone out there on the World Wide Web. Welcome. So anyway, so that'll go up later. Some people are probably watching now. I hope so. But if not, that'll be put up later. And if you know of anyone, if you're inspired today or something touched you, you have someone who you said, man, I really need to hear that sermon, but they couldn't be here. Like I got a friend of mine inviting today. He sent me a message back this morning saying, I am so sorry. I was waiting this morning to see how I was going to feel, but he cracked a tooth in half. His dentist is out of town. He's going to have a crown and a root canal. So I forgave him. So anyway, we'll put that up later, and you guys can be able to watch that or show it to someone who you may deem that needs to hear this sermon for today. All right, so this series is called Life Stories. How many of you enjoyed the past 2 weeks with Pastor Steve and Taylor last week? I'm telling you what, it was amazing. Pastor Steve started us off. He started out on Father's Day, and Pastor Steve got to our small groups pastor. He started that out, and it was, I don't think there was a dry eye in the house, I'll be honest with you. It was very moving, very touching. He talked about his father, and I'll get emotional again. He talked about how he got to lead his father to the Lord on his dying bed. Steve had been trying for years, and Steve had 40 minutes. He had tried two other times to talk to his father, and he's able to go back into his hospital bed in his room there one last time, and he actually was alert and conscious, and he had not been the day before. Anyway, Steve got to talk to his father again about the Lord, and his father acknowledged that that's what he needed, and he got to lead his father to the Lord. So it was very inspirational. It was amazing, and we just had people just fill up our altar that Sunday. Last Sunday, Taylor, he's our children's coordinator. He's gone. He's not here right now, but he did an amazing job on prayer last week, and it was amazing. We do these connection cards that you have in your worship guide. If anyone even today makes a decision at the end of service, we'd love for you to indicate that. Well, last week we had two people who indicated they accepted Jesus for the first time. Amen. And then we had one person who said they were rededicating their life. So it makes it all worthwhile. And that's why we're here, you know, is we're here to see people come to the Lord. And I'm hoping today, if you're here and you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, I'm hoping today that you'll take that step and you'll accept Him into your heart. So life story. I'm going to tell you about my life story. My life is not very dramatic, so I'm going to need a little help. Man, those guys are awesome, aren't they? How do they know? May 9th, 1969 is when my life story began. Oh, look at there. I was just a cute little thing, wasn't I? Just kidding. Couple more. I was born in a little town called Elkin, North Carolina. Now, one of you probably have no clue where Elkin, North Carolina is, but it's about an hour and a half north of here. Just jump on 77 North. You'll run into it. I was very fortunate to be brought up in a little town. It was a great little town. A little over 5,000 in my hometown. Great school system. I won't go into that, but I've told many people how great our school system was. And not a lot of crime there, not a lot of drugs. So I was very fortunate to be brought up in the little town of Elkin. But most importantly, I had two great godly parents. Still do. Charles and Jerry Stone. Now, a lot of you have not had the privilege of being able to meet my parents, so today I'm going to introduce you to them. My dad, Charles. Some of you know that my dad has a dementia. That was this Father's Day. I don't know how much more time I've got with my dad. You know, there's no parents that are perfect. But my mom and dad did the best they could. The good thing is that I'm so proud of that I was brought up in a godly home. My dad was a very, very hard worker. Very hard. He provided for me and my mother. He even told my mother when I was born that he didn't want her to work. He wanted her to stay home and to be able to take care of me. So I'm very fortunate to have my dad. He's still alive now. And just pray for him. As anybody's ever dealt with dementia in their family, you know how rough it can be at times. It's really rough. Sometimes it can be very funny. And we've had some really good times, and then there's been some really rough times. So just keep praying for my father. I just pray that that God will just give him peace until the day that he decides to take him home. He's in a facility here in Charlotte, so. Anyway, so that's my dad. My mother, Jerry Stone. Isn't that a great picture? I think that was a year ago this past Mother's Day. I'm fortunate today to have my mother with me. She has been a godly example. She's been a praying mother. And I am so happy that, like I said, that I was brought up in a godly home. Some of you cannot say that. I've talked to some of you. I know some of your stories. I know some of your life stories. And some of you cannot say that you were brought up in a godly home. But I just wanted to say thank you, Mom. I love you.
I love you.
So now you got to meet my mother live and in person. I'm sorry, let me grab it. So, sorry about that. There's a little bit of background behind me. I came to the Lord at a very early age in my life. I accepted the Lord at about 5 years old. My mom always at night would do a devotion with me before I would go to bed. And I would say that if you're not doing that, if you have children, if you're not doing that, I would highly urge you to do that, to do a devotion with your children at night. And the reason why I say that is because of what was being instilled in me at 5 years old We had got through doing our devotion, and I went to the restroom, and when I came back, I was crying. And, of course, my mother was naturally concerned, and she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I feel like I want to get saved." Now, you understand that she had not just talked to me about salvation. She had just read her little devotion to me, and we had prayed. And when I came back, I just felt that overwhelming presence and sense that I wanted to accept the Lord as my Savior. So I accepted the Lord at a very early age of my life. So let's proceed on a few years. At about the age of 7, I started playing the piano. My dad had told me as I was growing up, as most kids are, they kind of gravitate to an instrument, as you know. Some of them gravitate to the drums, some gravitate to the piano. I gravitated to the piano. And my dad said, "Is when you get a little older, son, as your hands get a little bigger, I'll get you into piano lessons." And he did. So I was 7 years old. I started taking piano lessons. And I took for several years. And as I got older and as I got a little better, I started playing in churches. And so that's pretty much all I've ever known is gospel Christian music. That's pretty much about all I've ever played my whole life. So I am very fortunate that I had that upbringing and that background in my life that I can use my talents for the Lord even now and to be able to help lead this incredible team. This is, honestly, this is the most incredible team I've ever had an opportunity to be able to help pastor and to see them grow in their faith and also to see them grow in their talents too. These guys are amazing. They get up here every week and they give of themselves a lot. So we're going to fast forward a few more years, made it through elementary school and made it through middle school, and then we get into high school and everything's going great. You know, things are going well, doing okay grade-wise, had a girlfriend, but my senior year rolled around. Don't know why this happened, but my senior year, around the fall of the year, I contracted a sickness called encephalitis. Now, a lot of you are probably going, "What in the world is encephalitis?" Encephalitis is an infection on your brain. It is very dangerous. It has been known to take people's lives. I was one of the fortunate ones, but I'm going to tell you in a few minutes why I was fortunate. Not just because of who I am, but it's because of people that were surrounding my family and surrounded me in the hospital when I was there praying. I literally had people come to see me that didn't even know me, didn't even know my family. They had just heard there was this kid, man, he's got this weird sickness that, at that point, I was in the hospital that weekend. They didn't even know what was wrong with me. They were treating me for depression. They were treating me for all kinds of things, so they had no clue at the hospital I was in. So people were just mailing by the droves. Honestly, we were overwhelmed as family. Couldn't believe the amount of people that came, showed up, and churches were praying. I was getting cards from churches I didn't even know. They said, "We're praying for you." Isn't it awesome to know that we got people that's got our back when we can't? When we can't pray, we can't reach out to the Lord in our sicknesses. We know that God is there. So, shorten this story. I was in the hospital over the weekend. Doctors came in on Monday, said, "We don't know what's wrong with your son. We have no clue. We're going to send him to a specialist in Winston-Salem." So my dad said, "Absolutely." My dad was going to tell the doctors that anyway. So we get an appointment with a doctor in Winston-Salem. There's a brain specialist. They come in, they do a brain wave on me where they put these electrodes all over your head and they get this scan. The bad thing is I found I didn't have a brain, but, you know. No, seriously, they did a brain wave. And when they came back, there was a fuzzy spot on the scan. And they're like, "That's infection. He has infection on his brain." So my parents are like, "Oh my God, like what is going on, you know?" So he just said, "Hey, it's caused from a virus that you have in your system, and it turns into an infection, and it can land on any body part." He said his just happened to travel through and land on his brain. Well, what I didn't tell you was is when I was in the hospital, my kidneys quit functioning. I'm telling you, it could be a very lethal, deadly disease. It can be if it goes on. So, of course, I had a lot of people praying and surrounding me. And we found out later that there was a lady right across from the church that we were attending that had the exact same thing that we didn't know about it. She wasn't as fortunate as I was. She didn't make it. So here's some comforting in that. Maybe you're going through a sickness right now yourself. But in Psalm chapter 30, verse 2, it says, O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. Isaiah 53, in part of verse 5, says, He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. You know, and at times when we're going through these sicknesses, these problems, that's all we have to hold on to, and it's God's word and His truth. And godly people that are surrounding us that are praying for us. And I am so thankful that people were praying for me. And I know that's what brought me through. I know it is. I know that's what healed me. Was that it wasn't the doctors because they didn't do anything special to me or anything like that. And I know it was God and the people that were surrounding me that were praying. So anyway, so God got me through all that. That was really the second miracle. First miracle was salvation. Second miracle was God healed me of encephalitis. So I go on to go on to college, graduated with a computer engineering degree, get a little job in my hometown, realize I'm not going to be able to make decent money there, so in the process I'm looking, I find a job here in Charlotte. So I moved to Charlotte in December of 89 to work for a medical diagnostic company. They made diagnostic equipment, CAT scans, MRI, X-ray. We were a repair facility for our equipment. So I went to work for them. Great job, great company, was loving it, loving life. You know, things were going really, really well. And then it was about the mid, I'm going to guess it was about the mid-90s, mid to late 90s. I was coming home one Wednesday night for church, and I was coming through an intersection. I was about 4 to 5 miles from my home. I was going 55 miles an hour, and a young lady decided she would turn in front of me. As you know, going 55 miles an hour when two cars collide, it doesn't go very well. They had some injuries. Of course, we had tons of ambulances. There was 3 people in her car. I was just by myself. Cars were total loss. She turned in. I just made a U-shape out of her car. My car was a total loss. Of course, paramedics come. They haul us off to the hospital. The one late young girl in the back, come to find out she was 6 months pregnant. She immediately went into labor because of the shock. They airlifted her to the hospital. So I'm just giving you kind of a sense of how bad this wreck was. Now, I escaped this wreck. I walked out of my car, and I had no scratches on me. Okay? Yeah, that's a miracle in itself, right? But as I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, I felt like somebody take a baseball bat, and they just feel like somebody smacked me in my back, and I just like, oh, I'm about bowed up like this. Well, the paramedics come running to me and says, come lay down, do not move, do not move. They're thinking I have an internal injury somewhere. They don't know. So they come in, they brace me all up, put me on the backboard, rush me off to the hospital. They're doing all kinds of, you know, tests. They're running, you know, CAT scan, MRI. They're saying, we don't see anything. We don't know what's wrong with you, so we're just going to send you home. So needless to say, I'm a little sore, a little shaken up, so I go home. Start having some, later week or so, I start having some problems in my hip. Start really bad. Go to the doctor. He says, your SI joint has been knocked out of place from where you had the seatbelt across you. It contorted your body, so your SI joint's out of place. So I went to some physical therapy for that. Got that all taken care of. Great relief. A few weeks later, I am got so much pain in the upper part of my body. It's hard to even move. I'm walking around work literally like this to relieve the pain just enough so I can work. Well, of course, I get made fun of at work. You know, the guys are just joking with me. So you look like a chicken with a broke wing, you know. And I said, I know, I do. I'm crazy, but it's the only way I can get some relief. So to bring this story a little shorter, I find out I have a ruptured disc in the upper part of my back. Very, very unusual. I'm just telling you, this does not happen a lot. In fact, the first orthopedic surgeon I went to, he told me, he said, I have never seen someone with a ruptured disc that high in their back. Never. And he's an orthopedic. Insurance changed. I had to change the doctors. I got an orthopedic. He says, the only way we're going to find out is I have to send you for a CAT scan where they inject the dye into you to find out what's going on. I go for the CAT scan. Results come back. Same thing. Ruptured disc. Upper part of your back. I mean, I can see it. You can see it on the X-ray. You can see it there. So this doctor tells me, he said, my only option for you is surgery. And I look at the doctor and I said, that's my last option, doctor. What's my next option? said, I could send you to a neurologist, and maybe he can help you with some pain management. I said, let's try it, doc. So I go to this doctor. He looks at me and says, I think I can help you. He said, I've got a ruptured disc in the lower part of my back. He said, I ruptured it when I was in college. I slipped on some ice on some steps. He said, to this day, I've never had surgery. He said, I think I can help you. I said, wonderful. He said, I'm going to send you to a physical therapist. I thought, oh, here we go again. He said, but this is not any physical therapist. This is a specialty physical therapist, more hands-on. So now he sends me this lady. She gets my reports. So she tells me, get this. She says, you know what your problem is? I'm thinking, yeah, I got a ruptured disc. I know what my problem is. She goes, no, you got spine. Your spine's supposed to move like this, as everybody knows. The upper part of my spine was locked. It was not moving. She said, that's why you have so much pain. I mean, I could take my head and do that, and it would shoot pain down my back. So anyway, so she says, I think I can help you. I said, wonderful, let's do it. You know, so I go for weeks of physical therapy. We go through it in a lot of prayer. Again, I'm just trying to do the background. It's a lot of prayer. To this day, I have never had surgery, and to this day, I can do this right here with zero pain. Zero pain. Third miracle in my life. So I'm just trying to give you some background that there's some hope for you today. If you're walking around with some sickness and pain, now, I don't understand why God doesn't heal everybody when we pray. I don't understand that because he opts not to heal everybody. Sometimes we have to go to a doctor. But 1 Peter 2:24 says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, what? You are what? Healed. So that's the hope we have to hold on to, that he bore those stripes on his back for our healing. And I know he did the same for me. Now, I'm one that God chose to perform miracles in. Now, some people, he has not. And like I say, again, we don't understand, but we don't give up faith, though. We keep praying, and sometimes we have to allow the doctors to help us. So fast forward on a few more years. In 2000, I was losing my job. I had changed jobs, and I'd been there for 9 months. They were going out of business. And so I had a very godly man that I met at this job, and he and I decided we would start our own business back in 2000. So we started a computer networking and consulting firm. And as everybody knows, if you ever start a business, it can get really ugly in the beginning. Like, where's the money coming from? Because I wasn't a rich man. So anyway, but he sent us through all that, and God has really blessed us through that. So that was in 2000. 2011, I was still at a church over here in Charlotte. It was called Tavola Church of God. And in 2011, God decided he would change my life forever. I met Karen Richardson on a Wednesday night. I was, at that time, I had been the youth minister, and I had switched. I was the singles minister at that time at my church. And we had a very active singles group at the church, and, things were just going well. We had a good time. We were all friends. We'd go out, hang out almost every weekend. We'd go out and do something. We'd go to somebody's house or something. So anyway, so on a Wednesday night, I'm there. I'm back helping with the youth because we got a new youth pastor. And one of the guys in my singles group said, hey, there's this young lady up front. You might want to go meet her. She's single. And so I was like, okay. Now, he wasn't telling me that, so I would, meet her, if you know what I mean. He was telling me, so I just go introduce myself, get her invited to the singles group and all that stuff. So I did. I went and introduced myself and found out a little bit about her. And it was not love at first sight. I mean, it was like, oh, God, look at her. Like, I hear, bells and all that stuff, Very nice young lady, beautiful young lady, and so she decides she starts coming to our church. So she starts hanging out with our singles group. So we're going through, and then over the months, I really start to see who she really is. I really start to see that she was the woman I had been praying for. Now, I'm just telling you this, if you're sitting here, you're single today, don't give up hope, okay? Don't give up hope. It was later in life when I met her. I was 33 years old. So don't give up hope. I prayed for a godly woman, first and foremost. Somebody with, pretty much the same beliefs as me, that we would be equally yoked. I know that it talks in the Bible not to be unequally yoked. That talks about, Christian to Christian. But that really goes way deeper than just being Christian to Christian. You really have the same beliefs and I was like that. So anyway, so I got to know her a little more and found out that she was exactly who I was praying for. And so we started dating, and November the 9th of 2012. So y'all thought I forgot it, didn't you? November the 9th of 2012, we got married. But you're like, oh, that's just great. Isn't that just so sweet? But I should have known there was going to be something from day one. You're like, oh, here it comes. I should have known from day one that she was going to be riding my back. We thought that was a cute picture. So anyway, so that's our story of how we met each other. And as you know, as most people that get married, then they start talking about children, right? So she and I, a few years into marriage, and we start talking about children, and we decided we would adopt. And I know that's a great thing for most people, but we decided, ours was a little different. We decided we would adopt two of the cutest, adorable, furriest children that you could have. So we'll introduce you to Belle, which is on the left, and Pierre is on the right. Now, people think they're brother and sisters. They are not. Now, we adopted them at two separate times. They are both Papillons. But Mr. Pierre on the right, who we adopted first, he is laid back. He is the sweetest, lovingest. He likes to snuggle-buggle. Miss Belle, not so much. She's the wild child of the group. So anyways, that's enough about me. Let's talk about you. You're like, well, how are we going to talk about me? I want to talk about your life story. I want to give you some background behind me and where God has brought me from and my life story. So maybe that someone here today can have some hope. If you will, I will ask you to open up your worship guides that you were handed as you walked through the door. And there's a poem in there, and it's called The Dash. If you can take that out, please. It is printed on the front and back. It was too long to put all on one side, so I'm going to read this poem. It's called The Dash by Linda Ellis. And as I read, you can just follow along with me. It says, I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live in love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? So this next slide is my dash. I was born in 69. I don't know that ending date quite yet. But what if my dash actually looked like this? Or more so, what if it looked like this? What if today's date was the last date behind that dash? What if today's date is the last date behind your dash? Your life story could end today. My life story cut in today. You know, I have been very fortunate to have a very great and very fulfilling life so far, and I can say that with truth. I've got great godly parents, I've got a great job, I've got a beautiful wife, and two very energetic, free children. And I get the most incredible privilege to be the worship pastor here at Charlotte's greatest church. Great place for an amen, right? But seriously, but you know what? None of this matters if I had never accepted Jesus as my Savior. I can tell you that now. If I had never accepted Jesus as my Savior, there's a good chance that I wouldn't be standing here today telling you my life story. I probably couldn't be standing here telling you of the three miracles that happened in my life. So, what is your life today? Some of you look at this dash here, and you look at it as a negative. Because those dates are unknown, because I don't know who you are. But I'm getting ready to tell you how we can turn that negative into a positive. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says, "For God says, at just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is when? Now. Because when? Today is what? The day of salvation." Yesterday's gone. You cannot recall yesterday. It's gone. You have no promise of tomorrow. So today may be your only day of salvation. If you're sitting here and you say, "I've never accepted the Lord as my Savior." Or maybe I walked with Him at one point and I'm not really walking with Him like I should. Today can be your day of salvation. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6 and 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know that first part there, the wages of sin is death. That's final. It's done. It's kaputs. No calling you back, more than likely. Now, there's some people that have been called back from the dead. I mean, revived, all stuff. But more than likely, the odds are pretty slim that that's going to happen for you and for me. You know, this weekend we're celebrating our freedom here in America. But some of you may be sitting here today that feel like you're in bondage, that the enemy has got you so bound down that you don't have that freedom. But I can tell you today, if you will accept Him as your Savior, you can have that freedom, the same freedom that I am experiencing, that I've experienced for many, many years of my life. Amen? So the next scripture is how you can turn that negative into a positive. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Romans 10, 13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be," what? "Saved." Didn't say you might be. It says you shall be saved. So that is how you can turn your negative into a positive. So today, as I said earlier, you may be sitting here and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior. Or maybe you were walking with Him at some point in your life, but maybe you've wandered away from Him. I urge you today to make that decision as Pastor Theron comes. And he's getting ready to give you one of the greatest, most important opportunities of your life. He's going to give you the opportunity to confess the Lord with your mouth and accept Him into your heart. So I leave you with one last question. What is your life story?
I just want to thank Dwayne for just opening up his life to us. And, you know, I think it's great we get to know each other better. And everybody's story is different. We've got different journeys that we've taken. But I just want to tell you that your story matters. Your story matters. And God knows every detail of your story. He hasn't missed a beat. He hasn't missed a thing. But it's important. You know, Dwayne started out by saying, well, my life's not that, not dramatic. And we hear stories that can be real dramatic, and then we think, well, my story, there's just nothing special there. Can I just tell you, it is special. It's special to God. You're special to God. He cares about every detail of your life, and He hasn't missed a conversation. He hasn't missed a thought. He hasn't missed a dream you have. He hasn't missed anything. And He cares. He cares about us. He cares about where we are and what we're doing. But what really matters is what Dwayne really was focused on there, and that was there's got to come a time where that miracle occurs in your life that's the most important miracle of all, and that's when we surrender our life to Him. Because oftentimes our life is just kind of winding and meandering. We don't know where we're going, and it's going nowhere, but when we give our life to Jesus, everything begins to really, really matter in terms of eternity. And I just want you to know that God knows where you are on your journey. He knows where you are right now. He knows what you're going through. He knows what happened yesterday, and He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be a part of your life. And that's when the ride becomes fun. That's when there's joy for the journey, is when we accept Him into our life, and He begins to write a new story. And I don't know what the theme of your life has been, what the theme of your book, if you were to write a book about your life story, is, but I believe that God wants to write a new chapter in your life. If you haven't really, you know, maybe you've had some traumatic chapters in your life. Maybe some chapters are confusing. You don't know where you're going and what's happening next, but God wants to write a new chapter in your life and take your story to a place where there's great joy, a season just of blessing in His favor in your life. And what I'd like to do right now is just give you an opportunity, as Dwayne was saying, for Him to just write His story in your life, and begin to really, really direct your life in the way. Listen, when you give your life to Him, it gets better. It gets better. And that's what God's come to do. You know, and I would say if you don't have Him in your life, I would ask the question, so how's it going? How's your way working? You see, when you turn your life over to God, that's when miracle after miracle, every day is a miracle walking with Him. And I want you to be able to discover that. Let's just take a moment right now, if you would. And let me just pray for you. Father, I thank You for Dwayne. I thank You for him just opening up his life and sharing with us his life story. Lord, I pray that You would help us to realize that our life is open to You. Nothing's hid from You. You see us. You know us. You're not like many who judge a book by its cover. God, You see into the pages of our life. And You know where we are. Now, there may be some pages that are written with great pain, suffering, and confusion. But today, I pray, Father, that Your love would be experienced today and You would do a new thing. I pray that You would help us to turn everything over to You and declare You as Lord of our life. And so, my heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you're here today and you know that you need to just give Him your life, just surrender everything to Him and let Him begin to direct your life, I want to help lead you in a prayer. It'll be your prayer, but I just want to help you with the words. But if that's you here today and you say, Pastor, you don't know what my life looks like, but I realize where I'm at in my life right now, there's something very important I need to do, and that's I need to give Him my life. I need my life to begin to work. I need my life to be a life of peace. I want to help lead you in this prayer, but if that's you, would and you say that, when you pray that prayer, would you include me in? Here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to have you stand, or I'm not going to have you come to the front, but I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. But if that's you, and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? If that's you, would you just slip up a hand? I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. I'm not going to embarrass you, have you stand or come to the front, but if you know you need to pray this prayer, if you'll just slip up a hand, I just want to pray with you. I just want to lead you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right now, for those that need to pray this prayer, whether you lifted your hand or didn't, I want to help lead you in this prayer right where you're seated. Would you just pray this? Pray something like this. Say, Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God, I want to experience your life. I want to experience true living. And so today I accept you into my life. I accept the gift of life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and paying for my sins so I wouldn't have to. Lord, by faith I accept you now. I receive you as Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming inside and making me brand new. I declare you today as my Lord and my Savior. Lord, I thank you for every person that just prayed that prayer. God, I celebrate what's happened for them today. New life, a new beginning. According to your word, they're a new person in Christ Jesus. They're brand new on the inside. God, I celebrate that. I thank you for that today. As with heaven, I celebrate with them, God. God, we just thank you, Lord, and pray that you would continue to guide them and direct them, God. And Lord, we thank you that every day walking with you is a miracle. Lord, we just worship you today. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Amen.